We have Julia Hertz joining us, and Julia is the craft beer program director at the Brewers Association and publisher of craftbeer.com. Julia, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Oh boy, now did I have that right? Are you in Boulder as well?
I am in Boulder, and I know the Turkster.
Oh, you do? Now, that's amazing.
Where is he?
Yeah. I don't know right now. That's a tough one.
Yeah, we're also very familiar with John Turk here. He's been in our town a couple of different times and discussing both of his last two books. But it's great to have you on and talk a little bit about craft beer. I know that next week is American Craft Beer Week. You're probably a little busy.
It is. We've been very busy. This is such an exciting thing that you're wanting to highlight. And American Craft Beer Week is a seven-year-old week program that literally has celebrations in all 50 states. And I would say to any beer lover or anyone in the U.S., how many celebrations have all 50 state participation? So it's a pretty big deal to beer lovers today.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to have craft beers being such a big part of every state. I looked at the map on your website and I was surprised to see a large little red indicator in Hawaii, where I don't even think of beer when I think of Hawaii.
Yep, there's definitely things popping in Hawaii. Maui Brewing Company is doing big things with their coconut porter and other fine beverages. They just won a crazy poll that the Washington Post actually does with beer lovers participating, and their coconut porter came out on top in kind of a Final Four mirroring the basketball championships. And
really?
Yeah, and they're doing just really great things from a small brewery perspective.
Coconut porter. Now, my initial reaction is not as good as it could be, mixing coconut and beer.
It's not. If you've had porters before, they're a little bit roasty, certainly not as roasty as stouts. And this essence of coconut that's added is true coconut, and I think it gives a little bit of body and a little bit of mouthfeel or a little bit of oiliness, and I like that. I like a little weight to my beer, a little flavor.
Now, do most regional breweries, do they tend, just like they did in Hawaii with the coconut, do they tend to find something local to specify their beer?
Well, you bring up a great question. We've got regional breweries and local breweries today. I mean, 2,000 breweries in existence right now, and 1,000 of them are brew pubs. So most of the breweries today are not going to be those regional brewers. They're the small mom and pops that employ 10 to 50 people. They're your restaurant down the street that also happens to make beer.
So the brew pubs, as differentiated from the larger brewers, the craft brewers, they sell most of their product right at their tavern or at their restaurant?
Yes, they do. So, in essence, I've heard the statistic that there's 13,000 plus beer labels in the marketplace. That would be labeled beers that are packaged and sold at supermarkets or liquor stores and also restaurants. On top of that, brew pubs are known for selling most of their craft beers on draft. So they won't even distribute, for the most part, out of the state. So their beer is really small traveling footprint and freshly consumed, often right on premise at the brewery where it's enjoyed.
Do all these beers, are they all distinct, or are there recipes out there that you might find the same tasting beer in somewhere in Colorado, a craft beer, as you might in Maine?
That's a great question, and I can approach it this way, and I think that there's many beer beginners out there just starting to kind of, as I say, start their beer journey because they're hearing about craft beer. And so are all beers alike? And the answer is definitely not. We document 140 different beer styles available throughout the world. The Brewers Association documents that. And the U.S. has become known now as the biggest destination for beer, meaning we have the most diversity because of the small producers. Now, about 83% of what's sold in the marketplace is still light American lager made from the large global brewing companies. And so that's kind of the lion's share of what's being enjoyed. And that flavor profile of a light American lager, pretty much adult Americans that have tried beer are familiar with that. Beyond that, you've got everything from old world beer styles like Pilsners, German Bock beers and the like, to New World beer styles like American IPAs or American brown ales or sour or wild ales. So I would say when you talk about beers, are they all the same? If you talk about different style beers, you get many variations, those 140 variations. And then beyond that, when you have individual producers making a specific style, there's many variations within a specific style.
And when you're talking about light lagers, mass-produced, you're talking about the Budweisers of the world, kind of? And
yes, I am. The larger breweries, the ones that we all see and know and love from television advertising.
Including Coors, it seems closer to water than beer.
Coors is also closer to Boulder.
That's
where
true.
They're right down the street in Golden.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I had to slip that in there because I knew that you were residing in Colorado. I know at one time in my life, which is quite a while ago, we used to have to drive a ways to pick up a few cases of Coors.
Yes, I've heard many a story about that. And what's kind of cool about that story is that, you know, today mostly only the large brewing companies are nationally distributed. There's a few craft brewers that are close to nationally distributed or national, like Sierra Nevada, who makes amazing craft beers, or Boston Beer, who makes Sam Adams. But then, for the most part, you've only got regionally distributed or locally available beers. And the story you bring up from Coors is back from the old days when they weren't nationally distributed, and people were known to want that, and they would, you know, put it in their car and drive across state lines and bring it home. And many people today are really just finding gems from their local producers and either trading beers or giving beers as gifts, because you can't always get, we brought up Maui Porter from Hawaii earlier in the interview, they're not distributed nationally, they're only in several states. I don't know how many, but probably 15, give or take, states. So if you find a beer that you've heard about, it's often, you know, a gem if it's regionally produced, and that's when there's a good chance to try it.
We're speaking with Julia Hertz, and she's a craft beer program director at the Brewers Association and publisher of craftbeer.com. Is there a point when a craft beer company gets too big to be any longer called a craft beer?
We do have a definition at the Brewers Association as the national nonprofit trade group that represents the majority of breweries in the United States. And of those 2,000 breweries, about 1,300 are our members, and both large and small brewing companies are our members. And to your question, we do definitely have a definition of what a craft brewer is. We put that definition in place so we could provide statistics on what was going on with the smaller producers. And our definition, literally of the 2,000 breweries in the U.S., only 51 do not qualify under the definition. And it's somewhat hard to explain it in length, but the quick hit of the definition is it's to be a U.S. craft brewer by the Brewers Association, you need to be smaller producing, and that means you produce less than 6 million barrels of beer a year, and you need to be independently owned with no more than 25% ownership from a non-craft brewing entity. And then there's some other factors that people can look up on the brewersassociation.org website, but that's the gist of the definition.
6 million barrels sounds like quite a bit of beer to me.
Well, it's a drop in the bucket compared to, you know, the large brewing companies definitely are in a different, playing field is the easy way to say it, compared to the majority of small producers. Sam Adams Boston Beer is the most mature or, advanced craft brewer, and they're at about 2 million barrels of beer a year. So they're not even close to that 6 million barrel mark, and you know, it would take quite a while to get to the level of where the large brewing companies is. When you're talking about Anheuser-Busch in the United States, for what they make, 104 million barrels of beer a year, and Miller Coors Brewing Company is about 63 million barrels of beer.
Wow, a lot of beer out there, isn't there?
Yes, it is. It's a big piece of the pie that kind of feeds our economic engine and makes the world a better place and a happier place when enjoyed responsibly. And love enjoying craft beers with food, too. That's a whole other great topic.
I've always felt it was a happier place. I'll go along with that one. What do you do at the Brewers Association, and how did that begin?
Sure. Well, the Brewers Association, as I said, is the national nonprofit trade group on behalf of the majority of breweries. We also put on the Great American Beer Festival, which is a 49,000-person, 2,000-plus beer festival. Incredible event in the fall each year in Denver. And we do a lot of other stuff. The Brewers Association started as a home brewer organization from our president and founder, Charlie Papazian, who frankly wrote the book on how to homebrew called The Complete Joy of Homebrewing for the majority of homebrewers that still get into homebrewing today. So we started as a homebrewing organization, and then we grew into representing professional breweries, as in the U.S., the professional brewing scene kind of developed. And we started in 1978, way back when there really was only 42 brewing companies on the books, which is nothing compared to the 2,000 breweries today. And now with 2,000 breweries on the books, we are at the back at the level of where we were in the late 1800s in the United States. So we're back at the level for the number of breweries pre-Prohibition, basically.
So before there were national mega companies, they were all small breweries.
Yeah, pretty much. Local breweries down the street. Exactly, pre-Prohibition. That's the way it was.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Whenever I think of beer, I think of guys, you know, getting together. They got a case of beer. They go watch the football game or something. But really, sure. And, you know, you think of women ordering a daiquiri or maybe a glass of Chablis or something. But that's not. It seems to me that's no longer true, that they enjoy beer just as well as anybody now.
Well, I think more power to anyone in knowing what they like to enjoy, and the bottom line is that I think that craft beer has kind of made beer an inclusive beverage. Beer historically has had a stigma behind it, and that's exciting to see this change, and bringing women into this community of appreciating fermented malted barley is just a great thing. I mean, beer has so much to offer when you pair with food. When you take wine and you pair it with food, what you've got is a lot of acidity and some resonance with the flavors because of the grapes. And acidity does great to neutralize salt, and it also calms the richness of food's fat or richness. That's where wine does great in pairing with food. But if you go with craft beer and you pair it, it kind of, like I like to say, it picks up where wine leaves off. Because malted barley, the sweetness from the malt comes spicy dishes. There's roast and biscuit and nutty and toasted and raisin and some bitter aspects in malt. And that has so much resonance with food. It's a beautiful thing. You've got the hops in there with the bitterness that comes down the richness of food as well, and has a lot of herbal aspects to tie in. So I think with the whole aspect of pairing, there's also a flavor component, and women are into flavor. So that's just kind of one little hook that I would say women are getting into craft beer because of it. And light American lager was doing the job maybe for some women, but craft beer is getting a lot more women involved in enjoying beer.
Now, does that mean that I have to know what kind of food to have with my nut brown ale?
You don't have to take it seriously at all, but if you want to, you know, experiment, then that's a good thing. And, your brown ales from England have a lot of aspects, and I would probably pair that with a steak that was not too heavily seasoned or some barbecue, and you're probably going to be a home run.
Now, is there somewhere where you can go and kind of get some information about, you know, what goes with what? If I'm going to have, a grilled lake trout, now do I grab, what do I grab?
Right, and it's a very complex topic. Again, if you want to experiment, you kind of should pay attention to what works for you, but if you want to see what has been working for many people that's tried and tested, we on craftbeer.com is the website that we publish. Craftbeer.com has an amazing beer and food pairing chart that basically takes the 25 major beer styles that are, you know, categories of the types of beers out there and tells you what entrees are good ideas to try with that style, what cheese is a good idea to try with that style, what dessert is a good idea to try with that style. It's a great resource, and that's on our website, craftbeer.com.
And, you know, this is the opening of fishing in Minnesota, and it seems to me that just about any beer goes well with that.
Yeah, why not? Great outdoors and good beer. It does go hand in hand, I agree.
Yeah, that's always been what we've noticed. So beer's getting very involved now, as you mentioned. You know, you were talking about wines, and we always associate that with food pairing, and now beer's the same way. It's an amazing change in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it really is in the last 20, 30 years. I think you're definitely right. And kind of the sky's the limit now. I heard the phrase recently, which I really liked. It's kind of like rock and roll to music, and now there's no turning back to see what the influences will be triggered from here.
Yeah, that's for sure. We've been speaking with Julia Hertz, and Julia is the Craft Beer Program Director at Breweries Association, and she's also publisher of craftbeer.com. It resides out in Boulder, Colorado. Julia, I wanna thank you so much for giving us your time here, and we're learning quite a bit more about craft beers, and also now I've got to go check your website because I want to know what I have going to drink with my food tonight.
Well, you're very kind to have interest, and if anyone does want to go for celebrating American Craft Beer Week and kind of the evolution of what's gone on in beer in the U.S. and the small producers, then I encourage you next week to celebrate American Craft Beer Week and have a tasting at home or go to your local brew pub, Granite City for one. Many breweries in your neck of the woods to go check out and have a toast.
Now, is it craftbeer.com that people should go to, or is it brewersassociation.org?
Craftbeer.com is the main website for American Craft Beer Week, beer and food pairing, as well as kind of just information on what's going on in the craft beer scene. So it's a great one for beer lovers.
Great. Thanks again, Julia.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet.